Okay, welcome back everyone to another Parshas HaShavua. This week's Parsha is Parshas Ekev. It's action-packed Parshas. I just thought we'd touch on two brief things. Apologies, I'm going to make today's a little bit shorter because I have to run to something important, but at Bina we always try never to cancel a shir, so at least we'll get something in. So one of the things we have in this week's Parsha, before we get to the beginning of the Parsha, which I want to focus on a bit more, one of the things we have on this week's parsha is the mitzvah of mezuzah. We have it last week's parsha as well. So last week we had the first paragraph of the Shema. This week, the second paragraph of the Shema. And in both of these paragraphs, it says, "Uchasavtom al mezuzahs b'sefer." You should write these words on the doorpost of your home. So, what's the idea behind the mezuzah? I want to share with you a little insight. What the idea is from sort of a more Kabbalistic concept. So when you build a house, obviously the Torah is telling us that the house is incomplete unless you put a mezuzah. Now, what's in the mezuzah? The mezuzah is the Shema, the first paragraph of Shema, and the second paragraph of Shema. So the Mishnah tells us what's the two parshiyos of Shema, the two paragraphs of Shema, the first two paragraphs. What's their significance? It's the idea of commitment. The first one is a general commitment, a general surrender to Hashem's sovereignty. It's called in the Mishnah Kabbalas Oil Malchus Shamayim. And the second parsha is more of a commitment to the specific mitzvah. So there's a, first of all, a foundational commitment, just to that we belong to Hashem and we'll follow him in whatever he tells us to do. And then there's a commitment to the specific mitzvahs. So Kabbalistically, the house that a person builds refers to our own internal house. Our internal house has many layers, many rooms, many chambers. And that refers to the conscious structure of the human being. In other words, our intellect, our heart, our emotions, our behavior, our talents, our uniqueness, our competencies, and so on. That's all part of the house that we build. Now, that might be a very good house and it might be a very godly house, but it needs a foundation. And the foundation is the mezuzah. Why? So in this particular commentary where I read this idea, it refers back to a story in Tanakh about Shaul HaMelech, King Saul. King Saul was a great king, he was a big tzaddik, but he made a fatal mistake. The mistake was that God asked him to wage war against Amalek through the prophet Shmuel, and he was supposed to kill all the animals. That's what God wanted. Amalek was a symbol of complete evil and needed to be eradicated. Men, women, children, and the animals. And he went and he waged war, and then he kept the animals alive and also the king alive, right? And that was the reason why we had the story of Purim later on, because Haman came from Amalek. But regarding the animals, Shmuel HaNavi comes back and he comes to meet Shaul, and Shaul runs out to greet him and he said, "I have fulfilled the will of Hashem." So Shmuel HaNavi asks him, "What do you mean? I hear the noises, I hear the sheep. I hear the sounds of the sheep." He says, "No, those I kept because I wanted to bring sacrifices to Hashem." Shaul HaMelech was a great tzaddik. He understood the significance of sacrifices. Where in the Torah, we don't understand it so much today because we don't practice it so much, but we don't practice at all, actually, because we don't have the temple. But in times of the temple, it was considered a very big connection to Hashem. It was a symbolic of bringing our animalistic sort of components of our own being towards Hashem. The whole thing, it's a very deep idea, the idea of sacrifices. And Shaul HaMelech understood this and he felt it and he wanted to do it for Hashem's sake. And Shaul HaMelech told him one phrase, very famous phrase. He told him, "Tov Shemo'a Mizevach Tov." Listening to God is much better than a very good sacrifice. Meaning, you miss the foundation. You understand, your intellect is good, your heart is good, you understand sacrifice, you understand normally what Hashem wants. But all that's to come on a foundation. So the same thing is, that's the symbol of mezuzah. Mezuzah has Shema and Hayayim Shema. It's the commitment. It's the surrender. It's the listening. It's the commitment to follow Hashem, whether we understand, whether we don't understand, whether we feel, whether we don't feel. Yes, we have to have a whole house. We have to use our brains. We have to use our heart. We have to use our talents. We have to use our competencies. But the foundation of our service to Hashem has to be the commitment to do what Hashem wants. When that foundation is there, then the house becomes healthier. The house becomes a healthy house, a protected house, and to make sure that we don't, our internal house doesn't deviate from Hashem's will. So that's just something I want to share with you. It comes from a discourse that the Lubavitcher Rebbe gave in 1974. Okay, now let's go to something in the beginning of the parasha. I'm going to share with you an idea from a book called the Sarei Alafim. I've quoted for him before. And this is the idea that he talks about, the following. So at the beginning of the parasha, we have this concept that Hashem says that if we listen to him, right? Moshe Rabbeinu is talking to the Jewish people as they're going to Israel, preparing them for what's going to be ahead. And he says, if you listen to Hashem and you walk in his ways and you do his mitzvot, Hashem will protect the covenant between him and us, and he will bless us with all sort of good things. But language in the Chumash is quite interesting. It doesn't say, since you're going to listen to Hashem, or when you listen to Hashem, it says, V'haya Ekev Tishma'un. Ekev means, like, the little translation, the best we can do in terms of translating it literally, is because you will listen to Hashem, that's why Hashem will protect you and protect God, the covenant, and bless us with all the good things. But it's a very unusual way of saying because. There are other words in classical Hebrew which are more widely used than the word Ekev. But Rashi says that the Ekev means a heel. And the famous Rashi tells us that Hashem is telling us that we mustn't only listen to Hashem, but we also should listen to those mitzvot that people tend to step on with their heel. In other words, there's, you know, the famous mitzvot, Shabbat, Pesach, and so on. Then there's like the little things that people don't always know that it's so important, and they just step on it, so to speak. That's a symbolism of Ekev. I don't know, it might be maybe talking Lashon Hara or talking middle of davening, or I don't know what it is, whatever it is, but it's those mitzvahs that people think are not so important. And Hashem is saying, when you keep those mitzvahs, that's what I really want. I want you to take notice of the mitzvahs that are seemingly unimportant that people tend to step on. And if you keep those, I will bless you. That's one idea. That's what Rashi says. But I'm going to share with you a different idea about what the word Ekev refers to and what it means. And it takes you on a little journey, which I'll take you for a few minutes. And it goes back to the birth of Yaakov and Esav. So we know that when Rivka was pregnant with Yaakov and Esav, it says that she struggled with the pregnancy. The babies were struggling within her. And there's a very interesting medrash. The medrash says that Yaakov and Esav were fighting in the womb. What were they fighting about? They were fighting about the inheritance of the two worlds. We know there's this world, the physical world, Olam Hazeh. And then there's the spiritual world, the world to come called Olam Haba. And they were fighting who's going to get which world. And they came to a conclusion, says the medrash. It's a cryptic medrash. That this world, the physical world, it belongs to Esav. And the world to come belongs to Yaakov. And obviously, the obvious question is, I mean, we live in this world. We enjoy this world. We benefit from this world. So if the world to come belongs to Yaakov and this world belongs to Esav, how is it that we are permitted to live or benefit from or take from this world? What does that mean? If it's not ours, then how can we be here? And explains the following idea. The word Yaakov comes again, also the word Ekev. Ekev, Yaakov, and Esav, he says, is the following. Yaakov is the heel, it's the bottom, which means Yaakov symbolizes when a person that in their spiritual journey thinks and always looks at it as if they are only at the very bottom of the journey, they're only at the beginning. They haven't progressed. There's so much more to do. In other words, Ekev symbolizes that we're always dissatisfied with where we've come spiritually, and we have the desire to grow and do more. Esav, on the other hand, comes from the word asui. Asui means it's done. It's all done. It's all complete. Esav means when a person is on the journey where it's all done, I have nothing more to do. So that's the two people, Yaakov and Esav. Now, when we talk about this, of course, when a person serves Hashem, Ekev is the preferred model. We have to serve Hashem in the way of Ekev because we always have to be dissatisfied with what we have done, and we always have to search and yearn for more. That, of course, is in the spiritual realm. However, in the physical, we know We know that the greatest thing a person can do is sameach b'chelko. He can be happy with what he has, and he can be satisfied. This, of course, again plays out with Yaakov and Esav, because we find that when Yaakov sent a message to Esav, he said, "Yeshli kol, I have everything. Whatever I have in this world is everything." Esav, on the other hand, said, "Yeshli rav, I have a lot," which means I have a lot, but I need much more. I'm not satisfied. Now, that's the two. That's the difference between Yaakov and Esav. Now, we can also understand, therefore, what this dispute and what the conclusion was between Yaakov and Esav in the stomach. Of course, we live in this world, and of course, we're allowed to partake of this world. But the conclusion was that Olam Haba, the world to come, which symbolizes spirituality, the spiritual journey, will belong to Yaakov. What does that mean? And this world will belong to Esav. In other words, that Yaakov will live a life of Ekev. In the spiritual world, Yaakov will belong to Yaakov. What does that mean? That spirituality will be a context, will be a perspective of Ekev. I'm always at the bottom. I need more. Whereas this world, I'll be complete. This world, I have everything. Whereas Esav in his spiritual journey won't be in Olam Haba. Because for Olam Haba, Esav is asui. It's all done. Rather, he wants this world. He wants to be able to progress in this world. And therefore, this world is the one that he says, Yeshli Rav. I have a lot, but I need much more. And that's the difference between Yaakov and Esav. We know that this is also, he doesn't say this, but it's also hinted in a phrase we say in davening, where we say that God is Bashamayim Mima'al V'ala Aretz Mitachat. Hashem is in the heavens above and in the world below. And one of the interpretations is that when it comes to Shamayim, when it comes to heaven, we should always look at those people that have more than us and aspire to be like them. When it comes to the ground, when it comes to physicality, we should always look at those that have less than us, Ha'aretz Mitachat, and be satisfied with what we have. So this is the deeper pshat, V'haya Ekev Tishma'un. Hashem says, if Ekev, if you listen to me in the word of Ekev, in other words, you're always striving for more, you're always aspiring for more, that's when I'll keep my covenant, that's when I'll reward you with all good blessings. Hashem wants growth. He wants us to be committed to him, and he wants growth. He wants us to always aspire to do more. We do, each one has a different journey. We all do what we can, but Hashem wants, what does he want really? He wants us to always look upwards and be an Ekev, be the person who thinks we're always at the bottom, and we need to aspire more, and Hashem will bless us with all his amazing blessings. So those are just two ideas from the Parsha. Have a wonderful day, everyone, and a good Shabbos for the end of the week. All the best.